Tape number 12, the Apostle Paul certainly had some great experiences while upon this earth, especially when Jesus spoke to him from heaven. Now, he'd really talked to Jesus. I have too. Here's an experience of a man of God of the Bible days actually talking to Jesus in heaven. Now, the Apostle Paul was a skeptic. He didn't believe there was any such a thing as a Jesus, the Son of God. Of course, he was on his way to Damascus to bring back prisoners. He met that little Jewish convert, Ananias, and he laid his hands on Paul. This gave him experience. And he became a great preacher of the gospel, a great preacher, because he had wonderful experience. And in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, in the second chapter, Apostle Paul speaking, "And you hath he quickened, you hath he quickened, you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespass and sin." Now he's talking to Ephesians and telling them they're now alive, that they've now no longer dead in sin. He's made them alive, quickened them. "Where in time past, you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Paul is speaking definitely about the demon power of the devil here, but he was in that mess himself. You see, when God, as we said before, had the battle in heaven, he cast these demon devils out of heaven, and here's where the children of disobedience have their association with the works of the demon powers of the devil. The power of the air, the prince of the power of the air, wherein past time he walked according to the course of the prince of the power of the air. The devil has never, ever lost his position as chief wind boss. He's the boss of destruction. He's the one that causes all these storms to take place and go up and down the different parts of the world, because he has got the power of the air. Thank God he's not on this broadcast. We've run him off. On the power of the air. And here it says, "According among whom also we have had our conversation." The conversation of a sinner and the ones before they became Christians is a different type of conversation in times past. And now here comes the lusts of the flesh. Now the flesh has lusts of all kinds, to satisfy the desires of the flesh. The flesh has desires to satisfy the flesh. Thank God he took those desires away from me during that almost 7 years of prayer. Because in order to go to heaven, you can't have fleshly desires. So I destroyed all them, and as wrought, even as others. But God, listen a bit, God who is rich in mercy. Thank God he's a God of mercy. He loves us. He's a God of mercy. And he heard my prayer for almost 7 years. Oh God, let me see thy glory, mercy, and his great love wherewith he loved us. Now God is a God of love. I sat on the love seat in heaven, and he taught me what love was, because God is rich in mercy, for the great love wherewith he loved us. Now God loved me. That's why he let me come to heaven. He really loved me. That's why he let me come to heaven, because he saw the desires of my heart, because he had mercy on me, as I was crying out to God, oh, let me see thy glory. Now, heaven is a lot of different buildings. Even when we were dead in sin, now, a sinner can come to Jesus, dead, and be quickened, as quickened us, can quicken us, can bring us alive, quicken us together with Christ. By grace, we are saved. We got to be with Jesus, got to be with Christ, all works with him. We're saved. And as raised us up together. Now, he's speaking to the Ephesians here, raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I want to say heaven is full of a lot of places. As Jesus, Paul knew that heaven was not just just to one building. He knew that because he had that experience with God, and he got revelation as well as did John on Patmos. And he knew there was different places in heaven. You go in this earth and you go along and you'll see different streets, but there's some called places. Jones Place, or different places. That's a different street, different part, showing there's sections, showing there's different places of heaven, showing that it's not just one big room or one big, as it were, place of where the Spirit gals together, but heaven is full of different places, different places. Now, I'm going to take you in a different place of heaven. Tonight, you've never been before in this closing broadcast, but it's raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. That is, that in the ages to come, he might show us exceedingly riches of his grace. Now, riches of his grace, riches, riches. Now, that just doesn't mean the richness of his grace, but riches, riches of his grace. Heaven is a place full of riches. When you think of the stacks and stacks of precious stones, that's rich. When you think of the gold on the streets, that's rich. When you think of how the great white throne is, that's rich. When you think of the wonderful realities of how it's built, that's rich. So heaven is a very, very rich place. It's not just a place where there's nothing worth anything, but it's a very, very rich place, really rich. And it's so rich, praise God, a big place, 2 million miles around it, full of richness, that in ages to come he might show us exceedingly the riches of his grace and the kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. A kind God, real kind God. And he loved the world, and through Jesus Christ we're able to partake of his riches. Partake of his riches, the grace of God. For by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Salvation is a gift of God. Salvation is a God's gift to us. We might have life eternal, not of works, lest any man boast. Not of works. The works, it's not the works. It's you by grace. It's what you absolutely come to God's love, obey him, and walk with God in heavenly places. Goes on, not by works, but if any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. He's changed us to be his workmanship, changed us to be like him. That's right. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which Christ hath before of ordained that we should walk in them. How wonderful it is to know that Jesus does that. Now, let's think about the great heavenly places. We've spoke about the throne of God. We spoke about the city four square. We spoke about the sea, the crystal sea. We spoke about the sea of glass. We spoke about the river of life, all the things. But we're going to take you over into heavenly places tonight. Something that many people did not realize existed, heavenly places. Now, the throne of God, but when you think of the throne of God, just a few thousand miles from the gate to the throne of God, what's in the back of the throne or the other side of the throne? That's what I'm going to take you over to the other part of heaven tonight, in this great walk with Jesus in heaven. Now, when you think of the distance, then there's thousands and thousands and more thousands of miles beyond the throne as you come in the gate, which is heavenly places that God has, a great area where we will go, and we will go among these glorious things that God has back there behind the throne, or the other side of the throne. Let's call it the other side of the throne, because that's what really is. The heavenly places. This is the heavenly places. I'm going to talk about places in heaven, different places in heaven. I was in heaven for 5.5 days, different places. Now, come back to walking before the throne and going up the city four square and the temple. Come in also the different parts. But let's take a tour to the other side of the throne and see what's over there. This is the heavenly places I'm talking about. So we did. We went in a chariot and settled down in several places. Now, if you could get in your mind an airport in the United States. An airport, for instance, like in the country, or South America, any place where there's airports. So you come down out of the sky, and you settle in a valley someplace. Then you get up the taxi and go to town. Coming by airplane. Man has imitated God's way and God's life. So then we got up in the city four square and got in the chariots. I tell you, friends, if you ever had that experience, in the chariots, this is one of the secrets that God told me to reveal. Then you start off on an airplane trip, not by airplane, but by chariot. Now remember, the throne of God is still looking at us. God has still got his eyes on us. We start sailing into the heavenly places, into the heavenly places. Now try to get in your mind about a million miles, or more like a million. Now I'm talking, say, a million earthly miles in your mind. Now the heavens, remember, is 2 million miles around it, making the inside gigantic and big. So then we made this tour into heavenly places, the gorgeous heavenly places. Now God created this earth; it's full of mountains and full of rivers and all this type of thing. But you haven't seen anything yet. Haven't seen anything yet. We started going back in, or across. Let's don't use the word back. Across heaven, going across heaven to a different part, to a different place, long side of the crystal sea. Endless territory. Getting back in there in that endless territory. Here is gigantic mountains built with solid gold. So then you go back here, there's a gold mountain, solid gold. Now in Nevada, when they had the Comstock mines and all those mines, they dug around there, and man dug around the earth, got out a few dollars and became rich. But you haven't tasted the richness of God yet. Went down to the mines and got silver mines and come out with silver dollars. Went down in the gold and fixed gold teeth. And man, my, that gold worth something. Now it goes down, it goes up. A commodity with which man trades with. A commodity man uses. So then here's a mountain, a high mountain, nothing but solid gold. That's his richest place, solid gold. You go on to the next mountain, nothing but solid diamond. One great big diamond. Great one biggest diamond. Diamond, millions of carats, one diamond. Diamond is nothing more than a hard flint rock, more or less, that comes into the rock. A hard, nobody knows where it comes from, really, what caused it, black diamonds. But here we was going into heavenly places in the great riches of God. If anything would blow your mind, this is this. Try to figure out how much money it is. A solid mountain, one great big diamond. God's got there, and man thinks he's so foolish getting a little bit of this stuff out and thinks he's rich. He's not rich. He's poor. He's not a bit rich. He's poor because he can't go beyond the grave. He's got it, and he's got money in the bank, but there's something gets him, death. He can't continue on. With that, there's an end to all things upon this earth. An end to all things upon this earth. But no end to the things in heaven. There's your difference between heaven and earth. So then we saw this solid mountain of solid gold, solid diamonds. The next one, solid silver. Don't have to go digging around. No dirt. Now, there's no dirt in heaven. No dirty things in heaven. Here's one solid silver. Here's one great big pearl. The biggest pearl you ever saw. A solid mountain. Nothing but just like a big pearl. You go on and on and on. Then there's one like onyx is, aquamarine, one mountain, just mountain after mountain after mountain after mountain, each mountain being like a gigantic precious stone. And then in the valleys of these mountains, the glittering shine that comes out of it, and down in there, the God's breath, God's river. I'm talking about now the river of life. And that water of the river of life, the Spirit of God has made lakes down below in these mountains, the Spirit of God, down below in them, made gigantic lakes in heaven. That these lakes are the Spirit of God among these mountains, the Spirit of the living God, coming out from under the throne of God, filling these lakes with the Spirit of God. Now it's all moving in the Spirit of God, all moving in Him. Then we think that some of the things we wear are gigantic. Some of the things. But here we are, everything. Everything that's ever been created by God, there's a mountain there to represent that great reality of this earth, what God's done. So then, going in this chariot, we're going in and out of these mountains, all over the place, going looking up. Oh, it was the most gorgeous, gigantic trip that a man could ever make, going out. Now, I'm talking about the riches of heaven, going into the riches of heaven. This is what you've got to look forward to. The great riches of heaven. Now you go in the high mountains in America, and you see these mountain sheep. You see them, don't you? Mountain sheep, you get high enough. You see all kinds. But back or beyond these mountains are thousands upon thousands of animals living without having to go to the toilet, living just as they are in these vast valleys. Beyond that, vast, great, big valleys with flowers growing all over them. This is the secret of heaven. God showed me this back in the interior of heaven. And out of these vast valleys get their fertilization, the Spirit of God. And there's absolutely no dirt, just growing in the gold. Growing in the gold. And then thousands upon thousands of sheep walking God's creation in the valleys beyond this great riches of God. Then you come on further and further and further. You never stop in your chariot. Keep going. Continuous going inside of heaven. Then there are all the beautiful animals back. There are thousands, just as much as there is angels before the throne of God. There are these thousands and thousands and thousands of animals back there, God's creation. No wonder Jesus could choose a horse, because there's thousands of horses back in there, or the other side of heaven, and all kinds of beautiful, different color horses back in there. And Jesus could go and choose one and ride on any time he wants. Just go and choose and ride on it. Then there's abundance of odors. The most gorgeous odors back in it. The breath of God. Odors. Most clear as crystal. And the most wonderful, 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 wonderful breath of God back there, in there. Then above is hanging thousands upon thousands of fruit. Hanging on branches. Branches hanging out from above. Branches, just millions and millions and millions of branches with fruit on them. With fruit. Hanging with clusters of fruit. Abundance of fruit hanging there. And we got out of the chariot. Jesus was in the chariot with us, 100 in the chariot, and 100 more coming, and we settled down in amongst all this fruit. Try to think of abundance. Try to think of no limit to the fruit. That's God. Has to be, because millions of people will be up there in heaven. And then we walked and picked some of that fruit. Now, I'm not talking about the side of the river. I'm talking of a vast number of different kinds of fruits, hanging there, clusters of fruit, just clusters and clusters of fruit, hanging back in that territory of God's abundance, God's great abundance, God's great abundance. Think of the abundance of God. And there we're walking through these clusters and clusters and clusters of fruit, hanging from these branches, hanging from these vines, hanging from these vines. And Jesus said, I am the true vine. That's right, the true vine. But here is God's gift to Jesus. Because for him to bring his souls in the church. Now, Jesus came down upon this earth to die for man, and that he might have life and have it money. But then he's going to take them into the world of entertainment of heaven. What? Just think, if they would leave all of their entertainment upon this earth and get ready to go to heaven, what they would receive. You see, Jesus walked in this earth, and he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. But he's a rich God. He's a God so rich and rich in everything. And they walking in the abundance of God's reality and God's fruit. So Jesus, we got out of our chariots and began to walk under those beautiful trees of fruit. To walk in this earthly orchards, the orchard upon this earth. I was in different places where they grow apples, and you go in those apple trees, and they smell good. Go in New Mexico's place called Hondu Valley, and that valley is just full of apples all the way through. It especially grows apples. You can go certain times of year, and that apple blossom smells so beautiful, the blossoms. Then you go through, and then the apple begins to smell like apples, and they pack them and ship them. But in heaven, there's all kinds of blooms back in there, everlasting growing fruit. I'm trying to make you believe how big heaven is, and how great is the reality of heaven. All kinds of precious blooming fruit. And then not only that, but already part of that branch is developed fruit. But that smell of those wonderful, wonderful clusters of blooms on all of those trees, the smell is just, you cannot understand it, so good and so great. As we walk in among that wonderful fruits in the interior of heaven, the great fruits. Then beyond that, we came to more animals and different kinds of sheep. There was a sheep and the lion, the lamb and the lion. eating together. The lamb and the lion was walking together, eating together, the lamb and the lion, because God had made the lion and the lamb to partake of the same food together and eat of the same food together. Then as we went further and further, many, many other things. One of the most spectacular reality was that. Now Jesus, we told in tape number 10, I believe it was, how Jesus sat on among the rocks. Now Jesus has preeminence in heaven, and he is everywhere in heaven. He's all over the place. He's Jesus. That's what he is. So then there's the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember the Garden of Gethsemane? Where Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he went, "Oh Lord, take this bitter pill from me," when he was about to be taken to the cross and crucified. Remember that? Well, here's the greatest Garden of Gethsemane you ever saw in heaven. A place where Jesus said, "Father, take this bitter cup from me." This great, gigantic God, this Gethsemane in heaven. Gigantic and great. And Jesus walked together with me in the heavenly Gethsemane. You see, Jesus went through all kinds of things upon this earth in his ministry, a great ministry. And he says, "Come, Percy, I want to show you something. I want to show you something." He says, "Here's the carpenter's shop where I worked as a boy." Only not just little, a gigantic carpenter's shop where Jesus worked. His whole ministry is portrayed in things that you can see. The whole ministry of Jesus portrayed in, this is heaven, the secret. And there, back in behind or beyond those fruit trees, was there the ministry of Jesus portrayed in heaven. Oh, it's so wonderful. Here was the Garden of Gethsemane. Here was the carpenter's shop. And there was the cross. There was the cross just like it was up on the cross of Calvary. There was Calvary. Everything that Jesus did and went to, there was a reproduction of it back beyond. So you'll be able to go back there and see the life of Jesus as it was when he walked. And then there was a temple. There was Jesus, a 12-year-old boy. There he was. "This is me," he said, "when I was 12 years old, when I went in the temple and confounded the wise." All the whole ministry of Jesus is portrayed in that area there. And there was the Jericho Road. All the ministry of Jesus there is portrayed in this area. There was the Jericho Road. There was the blind man. There where Jesus opened his eyes, the whole ministry. There it was, the different parts, and there was the Dead Sea. It was all there, the Dead Sea. He brought all, that was all made into a great, big, gigantic scenery. There was the Dead Sea where Jesus walked. There it was. And there was also many things. There was the manger. That was a wonderful part, to go in there and see the manger. It was all that in heaven, only in a gigantic, beautiful portraying of the life of Jesus from a baby on. You don't realize what you've got waiting for you in heaven. And here was the manger where Jesus was born there in heaven. Not just something, but beautifully done by the architects of heaven, by the sculptors, by the heaven, by the angels, had portrayed Jesus' ministry there in this area, way, way, way away from the throne. Showing so you'll be able to make a tour back in there and see. Then there was his mother, Mother Mary. There he was. There was what I thought was a wonderful part was Lazarus' grave. There was this area, and there was the grave of Lazarus. There it was. The ministry of Jesus brought to light in heaven. And there was Lazarus coming out of the grave. There he was. And there was Mary and Martha. All there. All there in a beautiful replica, and they're living. It was living. It was not something dead. The whole reality was alive. Not just somebody had painted a picture. It was all alive. The ministry of Jesus, all alive. Then also, there was the Moses. There was that reed, and there was that place, the time when they were going to do these things and kill Jesus. There was Herod and all his mess. There was Egypt there. You could go there and see Egypt as it was in the Bible days. There was Jerusalem, the old Jerusalem before it was destroyed. There it was. And you could walk through it and see the whole Bible there in this great area. What a spectacular sight. And there was Abraham. All through the Old Testament, there was Abraham. There it was as Jesus. There was Isaiah. But the main thing, there was Jesus. Of the whole life It was upon this earth beckoning, so he could go back there and see Jesus again, how he had walked the shores of Galilee and the Jericho road, how he'd healed the blind, with all the things he'd done upon this earth, but yet people had rejected him. There was those, and then the fact of being condemned to death. There he was, and what you could see, like a tremendous basement, or a cellar. And there was Jesus standing there, and being whipped and striped. There was those Roman soldiers striping him. The real whole ministry of Jesus down in that area, being portrayed through the glorious power of God's power to show what he did. Now, don't you want to go to heaven now? Don't you want to really go to heaven, miss all this earth's mess? Don't you really want to go to heaven and say, I want to go to heaven to see all this? The only way you can go, no other way but to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Not going to get there any other way. And it's there for you. You can go just to kneel on your knees and say, Jesus, wash me and save me for Jesus' sake. And that'll give you a ticket, a full paid ticket, ticket to go into all this area. The blood is the ticket to go into the interior of heaven and walk all over God's heaven. Walk all over God's heaven with Jesus. I said all over God's heaven. Father, I thank you for showing me these things in heaven. I pray, God, that people realize how great and glorious heaven is. And I know God will bless you for praying. And I'll be with you in the next half an hour. May God bless your soul. Amen. Glory. Friends, this is the last half an hour of this 12 hours of ministry being put on tape and then into albums. You must have listened already to some of this tapes and also the spectacular reality in heaven. Now I'm going to ask you to do something, you listeners. We are in a worldwide ministry starting it of translating these tapes into every language, known language under heaven. I want you to realize the greatness of getting the gospel into all these languages. Jesus says this gospel must be published or preached into all nations, means languages, then the end shall come. Jesus is waiting for this ministry of international promotion to get this message of heaven into every language. Let's name some of them from memory. Italian, French, Russian, Chinese, many different dialects, Arabic, different South African dialects among the black people in different languages. Also the islands of the sea, Tonga language, many different languages. And then the native Indian languages, Aboriginal and Indian languages of the different parts of the world. Then you've got also the different extreme northern, up above Sweden, and all up in that country, in Lapland, where they speak a different language. And to do this is a gigantic operation. But you can have a part. Surely you'd want to know the gospel going into all these languages, that the souls will be saved. By becoming a part of this, you can become a soul winner indirectly. Missionaries go to the foreign fields, and so do evangelists. But they go to these towns, and they give out tracts and do missionary work, like, for instance, Rio de Janeiro. And they give out tracts. And let's say they may win into their group up to 200 people, start a church and in there. In Iquitos, Peru, you got the same thing, sitting there. God bless his brother. He's a wonderful brother. But his influence over that area is very little. He's a wonderful brother. But he's got about 50 native Indians in his work. But then the man goes down the street and looks in the door, but it's just another one of those missionaries. They're well lovely people, don't misunderstand me, doing the work of God. And then you penetrate into Africa and the different tribes. And through the missionary work, it's only one half of 10% has been touched by the gospel. That's the truth. Not in mass has this gospel been preached, because they have no televisions. They couldn't listen to a satellite if they wanted to. No way. And there's absolutely no way they get a radio, because they can't understand English, and it comes in English. They don't know what's saying, shutting off. But there is a way. And God has given me the way that it can be put on tape, and the tape can go right into their compound or whatever. Let me give you a little thought. Among the Indian tribes, they speak their own language. And there are those that knows that language. They are the natives themselves. The missionaries have been in contact with them and some other ministries. To take these tapes and put it into their language. Now, how do you do that? You bring that person from that country and bring them to Panama City forward. And by interpretation, the ones that can speak both English and that language. And then you start in line upon line, precept upon precept, by taking and putting the tape in their language all about heaven. Now, there is a machine, fantastic machine, where you can turn the handle. That's all you have to do. Put the cassette, put the tape in there, and cut it out, and it'll play in their language. Don't need any electric light or anything. Just turn the handle. And there's a lot of manpower there going to waste could turn the handle. But this is getting this ministry of heaven, salvation, and the gospel of Jesus Christ into that country and that home. Because when it's a tape and it's listened to, they listen because they can put it on at their own convenience. Now, if a missionary has a meeting, calls a meeting that night, and we'll say he gets a couple of hundred people out, he has to draw them into this area to hear him. But if it's taken into their home, in the jungle missionary Indian's home, or even into the king's palace, or anywhere in the world, hear about heaven. All they can do is put that tape in and put it on and play it, and they can listen to what God wants known about heaven. And it's going so fast. Here's what we are expecting to do. Expecting to have these tapes in Japanese. Now, it's an Oriental language. When I was over in Honolulu, a different place, a lot of Chinese there, all kinds of Chinese. But I met a lot of Japanese Christians. They come into Honolulu by the thousands. Japanese tourists come, and the islands. But they're very interested in different things. And I talked to this one gentleman, speak English. First time he'd come out of Japan, happened to be a Christian. And he said, I'd like to have some things to know about Jesus. What could I get? He'd had some little booklets, that's all he'd had. He wanted to know more. And I began talking to him about the tapes. He said, I'll buy some right now. So he bought a set of my tapes. They bought them. Going to take them back to Japan. I want all my friends who speak English to listen to this. Right there, again, it proved to me this is the way to do it. So then, if you can imagine, 1,000 albums going back to Japan. In Japanese, what that'll mean. This is my program for next year in Honolulu, with 1,000 to get them in. In the lobby will be a sign in Japanese about the meeting. And this is when we're going to have these tapes in Japanese. Because we got them in English, and that is good going so far, but the ministry is so much greater than that. Eventually, I expect to have several different countries coming, and to just be able to take the tapes back to their country. But yet it is so that they have to take the English to that language. But there is the tape. When that tape comes into the home or wherever, and they begin to listen to that tape, they perk their ears up when it talks about heaven. And this is the most simplest way to do it, but it costs money. This project is a tremendous project to do this. It's on my heart to get it there. What we are doing and intend to do in a greater measure of this 12 hours that you have and listen to, we intend to take this whole album and translate all of it into each language. Now, that will not take only 12 hours, it'll take 24 hours. But we'll have the first 12 hours into both English and language, and then we'll come back with a second half of 12 tapes, the same. So it'll be followed up in what I'd call a second volume, because you'll cut away half your time by speaking English in that language, because it couldn't be done any other way as I know of. So therefore, we intend to have a tremendous tape production right here in Panama City. Thousands, we're building up towards that. We've sold a lot of tapes, sent them out now. But we're building up a gigantic tape ministry. And to do it and put it in that language. Now, it has to be something spectacular for them. These countries have heard so much missionary propaganda, they've become to almost belittle it. In fact, I heard one of them say in South America, oh, those missionaries, they can't make it. They're just trying to get and promote their church over their idea of religion. And they passed by it. And also in preaching, evangelism, and these kind of things, it is strictly an evangelistic message. And it's being done all over. Every day, every church is doing that. Every church is doing that. It's got missionaries. You name it. Lutherans, Methodists, Baptists, all out there in competition, getting the gospel in a certain way they believe, according to one doctrine, or they believe. Lutherans have their way, Methodists have that way, but they're all out there, and what they're trying to do, but now they're trying to cooperate, and they never will. I mean, there's always, but that difference comes, you can't unite together a different doctrine, impossible. That's just impossible to do that and expect to have a good establishment, because always one will come out with this, well, they have these fellowship meetings, but they're not solid. They just come together temporarily when they have to preach the gospel of their masters, what they tell them to preach. Many of these people have said of a doctrine themselves, a lot of it's wrong, but the preacher in that, if he doesn't preach that doctrine, what they believe, they fire him. And I just use the word fire. If throwing them out of an organization is firing a man. So they fire them, just like the world does. Fire them, get out of here. We don't want you because you don't adhere to our doctrine. Not the point, not anything personal, but because you're not doing the way that they want it done. They have a certain set program which they do it, and this set program they must follow. Now, I'm going to show you something different. I've been to heaven, walked in heaven with Jesus, and everybody wants to know about heaven. Even the toughest of religionists want to know about heaven. Even the ones who got all the bylaws, because it's supernatural, they want to know about heaven. Chinese want to know about heaven, French, Russian, you name it. They all want to know about heaven, because heaven is the ultimate of all religions. It is the payoff. It is the reward. And they all have a different way of getting there. It's the reward of their ministry. It's the reward of the organization if someday go to heaven. Now, let's take one of these ministers, not having anything prejudiced or any against them. How they do it. They set up an earthly organization, which is their business, set up an earthly organization. I have all these, and they set up a kind of program. Exactly one of the churches got exactly like the Odd Fellows. They used the Odd Fellows to set up their church. Odd Fellows. That's right. No wonder. That's right. But they got a church set up with the pattern of the Odd Fellows, but it's a legitimate church. And then many churches set up according to the laws of this country. That's why they have incorporate according to the laws of the land, according to what the law says they can do. But you know, Paul said we're not under the law anymore. We're under the dispensation of grace, love, peace, joy. Against there is no law. That's why I sat under the seat of love in all those different ministrations, because not under the seat of the law of this earth, but of the God of the heavens. That's what I'm telling you today. So therefore, we have a certain organization, not named. So then they have a school, and they send out missionaries according to the doctrine of that law of the church. Then another one sends out, and I asked this man in the foreign field, a native. He was a native man from Iraq. Native man, that's Iraq, close to present, young man. And I asked him, I said, what do you think of missionaries there? But he said, they all have their own ideas to peddle, is the words he used. And it confuses us because we do not know which is right. He said, I heard one missionary preach, and he preached to me to get saved, get right with God. And then here come another one from America, and the same, saying that he was wrong. This is the way that I should get saved. This is the way I should follow God. That's competition in the gospel, competition in religion. So that's why a lot of these countries reject the thought of an American missionary bringing the gospel, because they're sick and tired of the different doctrines and yet trying to come the same way, because they're smart today. They are absolutely not like they used to be. And they can tell in a minute if it's a different doctrine. For instance, like the difference between rapture and eternal security. One is preaching eternal security, another one what? So the poor native doesn't know what to believe, because he's got American missionaries coming at him with all kinds of different, even everyone. Now you've got the Seventh-day Adventists believe to keep Saturday. Along comes one, said, no, Sunday's the day. Sunday's the day. And when I was in Africa, he asked me, so tell me something, which is the day? Is it Saturday or Sunday? I want to know which day I should rest and worship God. See, he was confused because the Seventh-day Adventists told it was Saturday, and the Assembly of God told it was Sunday. And that's a fact. And I listened to him. And he said, what am I to do? Which am I to do? Believe Saturday or Sunday? That's confusion. But heaven is something altogether different. The eternal security men, they want to go to heaven too, so is the Assembly of God and the rapture people. But one thing about it, those ones that believe in going to the rapture, they'll be here and I'll be gone, but I'm not going to get them. But the tapes is something altogether different. It has no doctrinal axe to grind. There's no differences whatsoever, no difference of who's right or wrong. I'm going to tell what's right, I believe, in the pre-rapture, but then that's just a matter of opinion as far as the natives are concerned. The thing is a definite, different doctrine. Of where the native says, well, some say heaven's here, some say heaven's there, and some got the idea, where is heaven that native will ask? Where is it? Just like I as a little child, what is heaven? They want to know beyond this great universe, is there something beyond there, and all the whole world is looking up and trying to think there's some kind of an eternal life, some kind of a life beyond the things of this, some kind of a life beyond this world. One man tried to tell me, you went flying away in a butterfly. I was over in Balaktepe, and he was a believer in reincarnation into some kind of an animal. And he thought he wanted to be a butterfly because they look so pretty. Now, that's a religion. But they believe that the reincarnation of the soul. But they do believe in a soul. That's the funniest thing. They believe in a soul. And that soul will come out and be in all kinds of birds and everything. That's about as funny. But they believe that. They believe the soul comes out of the body. This man believed it was going to fly with a butterfly. He said, you know, have a soul. And he believed there's a soul. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if my soul was flying around like a butterfly all over there? And this is some kind of religion. That's what you call pretty far out. But it's so. It's the way it is. They believe that some want to be different. I've never heard one that wanted to be a rat. Because the rats are a vermin. I've never heard one of them want their soul to go into a snake. They all want to be something pretty. One thought he'd grow like geraniums. His soul would go into flowers because he had a green thumb. So he figured he should be some kind of a plant in the field. His soul should make the plants grow. And all this is religion I'm talking about, religion. Some of them believe in the happy hunting ground, Indians, and all these Japanese different religions. They're willing to dive themselves to go into the Japanese heaven. They're willing to commit had to carry or fall over to get in heaven because they figure heaven's a nice place. This is what I call man-made religion. Man-made religion. Man-made religion. Anybody can make a religion, a man-made religion. They got a lot of man-made religions today. But then heaven is something altogether different. Heaven. The beautiful place in heaven. What I told in the last tape about the gorgeous place behind in the last half an hour, this hour. Now let's get down to business with God. I've never yet seen a place that didn't want to listen about heaven, the biggest and the least. Even the little boy in Clearwater, Florida. Now he's a little boy, I'll tell this real nice. He was a Catholic boy in a Catholic home, had been taught there was a heaven, taught he had a soul. And by teaching, that scared him to die. He was scared to death. This little boy was scared to death. Scared to death of death. He'd wake up in the night with all kinds of bad dreams. And he woke up and he said, "Daddy, I'm going to die. Where am I going to do? What?" That's what he said, actually, in Clearwater, Florida. Family there, Catholic family. He couldn't understand what was after this life. But he got over one of the tapes, "Percy Sees an Angel." That boy did. Catholic boy. And he'd play that night after night after night. And he got up in the morning and said, "Daddy, you know there's a heaven? And it's real. Percy's been there. There's a heaven. And this heaven has got angels. And I believe Percy." That's what he said, "I believe him." And he began to talk to his dad. He said, "Dad, I'm not afraid to die." He said, "There's a real heaven." And he became quite happy with his, and began to whistle around the house and began to get happy. His father called me up in the Clearwater meeting. And he told me, I said, "Bring that boy to the armory." And the whole family come, that whole Catholic family come, with this real bright boy, about 7 years old, real nice-looking young boy. He said, "Could I speak to you a little bit?" "Sure." He said, I feel good since I heard about him. He said, "I'm not afraid to die anymore." My daddy was sitting back there. And he said, "He's so happy that I don't worry about death anymore." I said, "Would you like to tell the people about it tonight, what Jesus done for you?" "Yes." So he come up real bold and brave. And he said, "I believe there's heaven." He said, I used to scare to die, but now I'm ready to go to heaven." And that whole congregation, I thought they would explode. But that little boy was so relieved when he heard that Percy Sees an Angel. He was not afraid to die anymore, but he wanted to tell his whole family. He changed that Catholic family's life completely. The whole family believed there's heaven, and all got happy and all got joyous because we'd told them about the real heaven. Now that's a ministry. And now the same thing works in the hearts of different people. Now let's take a grown man who is fully grown, and he's in another country, and he believes there's heaven off someplace, but a missionary comes and he wants to be a good Baptist and try to be a good Methodist because of Baptist. And he's got an idea, but there's thousands more around him. But he's obtained faith till he believes, in the form of faith, he believes a good Baptist or a good Methodist. But he's still looking off someplace. Where's heaven? He still begins, he hasn't got the fullness of the joy of heaven, the fullness of the joy of eternal life. So then by taking these tapes and putting them into foreign language, they get the joy of heaven in their life. Here's a fascinating work. For instance, the country of Italy. We haven't a Ted and go into that country, establish a tape production that they can produce the tapes directly in that language. That way you don't have to mess with customs or anything. Do you know that you can have tapes made in Mexico? And they can go through every Spanish-speaking country without paying any duty. But if we do it here, if we do it and produce the tapes there and send them, we have to pay up to 40% customs to get them in that country. That's not my plan. My plan is the Word of God is forever settled in my soul and heart. So then we intend to go to that country and produce the tapes there. Because now we have a man come and produce them in that country, for that country, all about heaven. It's going to work. It will work, and it is working. I'm going to ask you to do something. It takes money. And I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to just get a blessing. I'm not going to say you give $10, send $20. That's not my style. But I'm going to ask God to speak to you with a desire to get this message into every nation under heaven. Maybe your ancestors were Catholic. Maybe your ancestors were Italian. This is a melting pot of all the different nations of the world here in America. We've took them all in. Now we got this new American nation with American different type of people, mixed all up with Greeks. We're mixed all up with Greeks, every country, you name it. And that's why we're different people. That's why we can get into these different countries. Because you may have a grandfather that was an Italian. You may have a grandmother that was a Russian. That's America. We want those people to know about heaven, get saved. The plan is to make thousands of these tapes in their countries. Do it. And this is a gigantic expense. It's not something easy, but we trust God to do this, to get these tapes into all the languages of the world. Now, here's where you can come and help. You can, what you can do is give into this ministry that we can do. We're doing it as fast as we can, building places to do it so far where I can even have fellowship with the ministers and all this kind of thing. But to get these tapes, now here's what you can do. That question. If you're a rich man, give $1 million or less. If you're a rich man, if you're rich and got millions, give 1 million. If you got thousands and you give 1,000, give 1,000. And then get blessed and give another one. If you have nothing hourly, you can send a couple of $3 for this wonderful reality. And we will do it into these different languages and guarantee you it's going to work because Jesus said it's going to work. Because it'll go there, the tape will go there where you can't go, and it'll go to home right there, and you can sell thousands of tapes and put them in these homes where they can hear the gospel right there in their home front yard or front door.